Well, welcome back to the God School. For those of you on shortwave, you can hear this message along with over 900 other messages wherein we are giving our best attempt to put God on display that the hearers thereof might come to faith, that is, grab hold of the promises of God as though they are more real than anything we might ever encounter. For over two decades, I conducted tours at the Bible Museum, and when groups gathered, I often asked a question of them: why did Jesus speak to the people in parables? And almost without exception, every one of them who responded this way: so that the people might understand. We're going to look at a parable or two today, but you know, in Matthew 13, it says in the 34th verse, and we're going way ahead of ourselves, it says, "And these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." There's a lot to bring out in this 13th chapter of Matthew. And let's read, and I'll try to give understanding as we go along. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth. For forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came to him and said, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered them, "Because it is given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So I want to stop here for a second. I want to encourage you who are pursuing God, and no man pursues God save the Spirit of God draw him. The initiation begins with God. It's not, doesn't initiate with you. God puts it in you. It says, because it is given. This word in the Greek, I have one concordance that says this is in the passive voice, but years of understanding caused me to search further and found this word is called in the middle or passive voice. And the middle voice in the Greek tells us why the actor in this verb does it. And he does it for his own sake. God is the one that is giving us the ability to know. And to others, obviously, not to know. Well, that, you know, what kind of God is that? What, how the fairness of God? God's fair. God, to be God's got to be fair. Who says God to be God is God, period. And he chooses whom he will. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to know God chose you for himself. But now let's continue. For whosoever has, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. We're not talking about worldly riches here, folks. We're talking about knowledge. We're talking about the relationship with God. And I had someone write to me saying, and I'm paraphrasing, he didn't understand some of the messages on a particular subject. Well, I want you to know, when through God's grace, through God's choosing, when I started this journey more than 40 years ago, I would listen to, I think, probably the greatest teacher of Scripture the Christian church has ever known. I didn't understand all that he was saying because I didn't have the breadth and depth of Scripture that 40 years, over 40 years in this relationship with God has developed. And the result is the faith given to me, and it's not testimony about me here, but the faith given to me just grows daily, and it will for you if you stay with it. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. He quotes Isaiah. For this people's heart waxed gross, their ears dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. In other Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says something very similar. He says, and he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Matthew, he says, and I should heal them. Mark says, and their sins should be forgiven them. Luke says, lest they should believe and be saved. And John, in the 12th chapter, says, be converted and I should heal them. He repeats Matthew. There's wonderful benefit, eternal benefit, to seeing with eyes open and hearing with ears open and understanding that should come, and should be converted. This word in the Greek means to turn. It's to turn from yourself to God. You know, how often in Christian circles have you heard, you must repent, you must repent. Unless you have repentance, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, if we go to the Greek, the word repent comes, our English word repent comes from the Latin, the word penance, something you do. You know, okay, for your penance, say five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys. No! It comes from the word metanoia, and it has to do, noia is the word for mind in the Greek. Meta, it says, many definitions talk about afterward, after you hear. My pastor gave the best definition I've ever heard. It means to have a new mind. In John's gospel, Jesus speaks and he says, unless ye be born again. Christianity is a new life. And that in Christ. And that given to us, not because we earned it, but because God chose for his own sake to give it. New life. Give us new life. 16th verse of this 13th chapter says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. This word blessed speaks of the capacity to receive. He goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. Now Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's not speaking to the multitude. And he says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony ground, the same is he which heareth the word and immediately with joy received it. When Dr. Scott taught on this one, he was very eloquent. During the time of his ministry, he had followers not identify themselves but by name, but by a King's House number. And that number reached up to 70,000. People heard and they, with joy, received what he was teaching. But the more he got into the meat, the fewer the respondents, where he didn't wind up with quote unquote 70,000 followers. And God knows what the number was, but I'll tell you this, it wasn't very many. And immediately, anon, that's the word translated, immediately with joy received it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by, he is offended. Like those people who in their unenlightened minds say, well, that doesn't sound fair. Well, stay in the word and rejoice that God has given you the capacity to see and hear and understand and be healed, have your sins forgiven, be converted, and be healed, be, it says in Luke, that they should believe and be saved. Bad word, bad translation, that they should faith and be saved. We've been at this for over 19 years ourselves. And the number of followers is very few. I don't look at myself and say, well, it's because of your efforts. No, it's God who giveth for his own sake. So those of you who are following, who are jointly participating in giving in this ministry, that's the word koinonia, give glory to God. Let's continue. He also receives seed among the thorns, and is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and become unfruitful. But he that receives seed in good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and which beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30. He goes on. and speaks of the wheat and the tares. This gave me great comfort. With all this tumult in the world, it brings me understanding, and I hope that it might bring you some understanding. It's like the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in the field, in his field. But when men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up, it brought forth fruit, and then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in your field? From where then come has it tares? And he said, An enemy's done this. And the servant said unto him, Wilt thou then we go and gather them up? And he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye up first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. How can a world created by God have such horrible things and such horrible people with them in it, and God not come down and strike them with lightning or whatever other horrible thing we believe is due to those people? God gives the answer here. Wait till the time of harvest. Those tares shall be gathered up and burned, and the wheat, that is the good fruit, that is the seed sown in good ground. That is the blessed who see and perceive and hear and understand shall be gathered into my barn. And back where we started. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. I just want to address some of you who might be find themselves in tribulation or persecution. That 21st verse of this 13th chapter, it says, Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. Some have come and joined, and others have fell by the wayside. Fallen away, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, because you have been converted. Paul has something to say about this in the 5th chapter of Romans. He opens and says, Therefore, being righteousified by faith, we have peace. That is, we are set together again with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, unmerited favor, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory. Now this word, if we translate it properly into English, we boast in tribulation. Jesus said, in the world, unto his followers, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good courage, for I have overcome the world. And not only so, but we boast in tribulation, knowing that tribulation, this word tribulation, our word, English word, tribulation, comes out of that process of dividing wheat. It's a threshing. Where wheat is gathered from what's not. We boast in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works, King James says, patience. You know, these translators were pretty weak in some areas. It literally says that tribulation worketh endurance. We, using the knowledge of etymology, knowing this word tribulation comes from that process, separating the wheat from the chaff, they whack it. We could say, we glory in whackings also, knowing that whackings worketh endurance. We're hanging in there. And that whacking and endurance experience. You've been whacked as a Christian? Can't count the times. I hope it's better for you. But when we're whacked, endurance comes. We endure the whackings. And because we endured, we now have the experience that we can get through that whacking. And because we have that experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. I hope this message, and I have no shame in it, brings encouragement unto you. And to some new ones who have never heard the word of God put forth the way it has been today. And that's the God School for today.